to Shortwave, a PBS NewsHour podcast on foreign events that have an impact close to home. I'm NewsHour Foreign Affairs reporter-producer PJ Tobia. This week, we continue our conversation with NewsHour science correspondent Miles O'Brien. He's just back from the heart of Sierra Leone's Ebola crisis, where he reported a series of pieces for NewsHour. You can catch the last two installments on the broadcast this week. In last week's episode of Shortwave, Miles told us how scientist detectives in Sierra Leone are still tracking the Ebola virus. They're also planning how to prevent the next outbreak. But of course, behind all that research and cutting-edge science are human beings, doctors and their patients, victims of the outbreak, and those trying to heal them. Too often, the doctors become the patients, and sometimes reporters do.
I woke up and I had an incredibly bloodshot left eye, this red eye staring me in the mirror. And I got to tell you, it took my breath away.
We'll get to that story in a minute. First, over 16,000 people got Ebola in West Africa. What kind of impact does that have on a society?
People are traumatized by this.
Miles says that many people he spoke with have turned to denial as a way to cope.
People were extremely skeptical that Ebola was even real. There's a thread which runs through a lot of your conversations in Sierra Leone and Liberia that Ebola is some sort of conspiracy, some sort of plot by white people to kill black people. There's a lot of rumor and misinformation that goes along with all of this.
He says that this suspicion made the outbreak worse and has a negative impact on the hunt for a vaccine to this day.
The vaccine trials have suffered from this as well, because what is, after all, a vaccine? But, you know, the virus has been essentially neutered, so it won't make you sick, but it's enough of the virus to give you the antibodies for the Ebola. So there's this huge sense of suspicion, and that suspicion at the very early stages exacerbated the spread of the disease.
Still, people in the parts of West Africa Miles visited are remaining vigilant.
No one shakes hands in Sierra Leone. Everywhere you go, when you walk into a building, you have to wash your hands with chlorine solution. People stand a little farther apart from each other.
Doctors and scientists on the trail of the virus also experience lingering fear and pain from the epidemic.
We didn't go searching for Ebola. Ebola came to us. It came with a vengeance.
That's part of Miles' interview with Lena Moses, an American expert on infectious diseases. Her specialty is Lassa fever, a hemorrhagic disease similar to Ebola. The Centers for Disease Control says hundreds of thousands catch Lassa each year in West Africa, killing about 5,000 there. Moses was working on Lassa fever in a village called Kenema, which would soon become ground zero for the Ebola epidemic in Sierra Leone.
It was pretty awful, actually. People were really scared. What they call IPC, infection prevention and control, was not in place to any measure that would protect people. And a lot of people got sick.
Friends, how many did you lose?
The people that I've worked with for several years, we lost 9 of our staff. Most of them very good and personal friends of mine, so.
She's been through the Ebola mill, and her experience with zoonotic diseases is now firsthand in a way that she never wanted it to be.
Miles also had a firsthand brush with the fear Ebola can cause. After returning from his reporting trip to Sierra Leone and Liberia, Miles was subject to monitoring by the CDC. It's standard protocol. Everybody who returns to the U.S. from one of the Ebola crisis countries, from aid workers to doctors to journalists, undergo this scrutiny.
You know, you get off the plane at JFK and they usher you into a specific area, and you are they interview you, of course. They actually give you a burner cell phone to call in and so forth. And I was like, wow, this is getting real.
A day later, it got really real.
The next morning, I woke up and I had an incredibly bloodshot left eye. This red eye staring me in the mirror. And I got to tell you, it took my breath away. I took my temperature probably 20 times that day. And I was retracing my steps over the course of this long trip, trying to think where I might have been where the virus could have persisted. And, you know, of course, that is one of the key symptoms, is a bloodshot eye.
Miles was scared. His mind raced back through all the interactions he'd had in the 11 days he'd spent in West Africa.
It was a moment where I thought, well, what did I do? What did I, put my hands somewhere and then put my finger in my, you know?
Luckily, Miles was okay. He never got a fever. But the visceral fear he'd felt changed his perspective on Ebola.
Put it this way. I was in Chevy Chase, Maryland. I was one metro stop from the National Institutes of Health and some of the best care in the world, isolation facilities. Even if the worst had happened to me, I know that I would have had tremendous care. What that made me think of is what kind of fear it must be for someone in a place like Sierra Leone, in a village with just such crushing poverty, to exhibit these symptoms, not have any access to the kind of care that we do here in the first world. The sheer terror that must go along with that is hard to describe.
But Miles wonders, how long will the survivors of the epidemic remember that fear and the lessons that it taught?
It's the bumpy tail end of an epidemic right now. What will be interesting is how this plays out the next time. There will be another Ebola outbreak. Will it be like this? Will these lessons that have been learned about contact with other human beings, about maintaining clean hands, about safe burial practices, will all this stay with people? It's a lesson that I assume it's certainly seared in people's minds this moment, but unfortunately, you know, people tend to forget.
You can watch all of Miles's reports on NewsHour's website, pbs.org/newshour. You'll also find a link to part one of my conversation with Miles in last week's podcast. That's it for Shortwave. We'd love to hear your thoughts on our program. You can find me on Twitter, at PJTobia. Shortwave is a production of PBS NewsHour, Sarah Just, executive producer. Justin Kenny is NewsHour's senior producer for foreign affairs and defense. Travis Daub is creative director. Vanessa Dennis created the graphics for Shortwave. The theme music was composed by Jeremy Gibson. Jenny Martyr and Margaret Myers edit Shortwave's online content. Natalie Boyd offered production assistance, transcripts by Aisha Jama. Special thanks for editorial oversight and inspiration to Hari Srinivasan. I'm your host and producer, PJ Tobia. I hope you'll join us next time for Shortwave.